until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And I'm joined online by Sarah Henderson, the member for Corangamite. Sarah, good morning.
Mitchell, good morning. It's great to be with you again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out, as always, and enjoying the Dire Straits track.
Yes, yes. Brings back some very old memories.
Yes. Now,
Dire Straits was very, very big when I was at school.
Yes, I can imagine.
Good music.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the Darren Lyons film. I saw the film of Darren on a horse riding through Mallop Street, and I saw in a newspaper article that you had a couple of thoughts on that. What do you think of the film?
Well, this video was produced, I guess, by the Geelong Ballerine Tourism Association, and Mitchell, I just think this is the wrong message for our great city. Factually, it's wrong. It talks about how we were great, then we fell into the doldrums, and then they had all those zombies walking around, and then we're great again. It's no reflection on Darren Lyons. I mean, he's doing an amazing job. But the whole concept of the video is flawed. It's negative. It's not the right message. The title, Sleepy Hollow, is ridiculous. I mean, we are a vibrant, growing city, the largest regional city in Victoria. Very, very diverse, lots of opportunities. And despite some of the challenges that we have had in manufacturing, in traditional manufacturing, we are seeing literally hundreds of new jobs being created. Under the Geelong Region Innovation Investment Fund, Mitchell, for instance, we've actually seen something like 850 jobs created. And just last week we announced that a new federal agency will be coming to Geelong, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and that's another 250 jobs. So we are dynamic, we are innovative, and I just think the video is pretty dumb and the concept are fundamentally flawed.
So you think to attract people to Geelong, a more positive message would have been better?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we are an incredible region with some of the most incredible assets, with such a great story to tell. And, I mean, I just think it makes us look a bit silly. As I say, I think the video is factually wrong. We've always been a great city. We've had some challenges. We're an incredibly diverse city. And while the zombies might appeal to 12-year-olds, you know, who like the program Twilight, I must say I don't know much about it, but I'm told 12-year-old girls love Twilight and love zombies. I don't think it's really going to appeal to those making a decision to come to Geelong. So what I've decided to do, and I've actually been working on this for some time, is launch a filmmaking competition, and there'll be more details coming out, you know, soon. But that is a competition which will encourage young filmmakers to make a short video about our great region, about Corangamite, the electorate that I very proudly represent, and the greater Geelong region, espousing the wonderful positive attributes of our great region.
Now, you've been involved a little bit in some of the state campaign, state election campaigning. I've seen you down on the waterfront talking about the East-West Link. And I just wonder, do you think people are separating the issues between federal and state for the state election on November 29?
Well, the East-West Link is one project that is funded by both the state and federal governments. So the federal government is contributing $3 billion to this critically important project for our region, one of the biggest infrastructure projects ever in Victoria. And what is so important for people to understand is that the western section is going to revolutionise Geelong, because it will provide that second river crossing. It will stop the car park that some 14,000 commuters experience every day going up to Melbourne and back again. So such an incredibly important project for our region, save around 3 hours per week for Geelong commuters. And that western section is really important. Now, state Labor recklessly and frankly, unbelievably, has threatened to tear up the contracts for the East-West Link project. That is going to cause enormous damage to Geelong, and that will basically end the 6,700 construction jobs that will flow if the East-West Link project goes ahead. So important for our local economy and so important for local jobs.
I mean, it was a federal promise, but I suppose it's conditional now on whether the Napthine government gets re-elected.
Well, absolutely. The money will not flow. The $3 billion will not flow if Daniel Andrews and his destructive policies, if he is elected. And that's because he's threatened to tear up the contracts. I mean, that basically will shut Victoria down as a place to do business. What business needs to grow jobs and to invest is confidence and certainty. So even in making this threat, he has done enormous damage to our state. He's very closely aligned with the CMFEU, which has been engaged in all sorts of illegal activities and has been found to have done so. And, I have great fears if Daniel Andrews is elected.
And they say that they've got this Westgate distributor road, which is going to take trucks off the Westgate. And I was speaking to Daniel Andrews about it a few weeks ago, and he said that it's costed and it's cheaper, and according to him, it's going to be much better. So I guess, why do you think the East-West link will benefit people of Geelong more?
Well, that's just tinkering at the edges. I mean, that's just one route off the Westgate Bridge. But in the past, Mitchell, people like Bill Shorten, Julia Gillard and local Labor MPs have supported the Western section because, you know, we've got to deal with 14,000 commuters who go up and down in peak hour every day, not tinkering at the edges. This will provide an entirely different route for Geelong, for Ballarat. It means that you can take the Western Ring Road and then take a completely separate road right across the eastern section of Melbourne. So it will end the terrible car park that we have seen, because there's been enormous growth, of course, in the western suburbs as well, places like, you know, in Wyndham and Point Cook, and that's really added to the pressure in terms of getting into Melbourne. So Daniel Andrews' policy is completely flawed. Even local Labor MPs know it. And I've actually launched a petition, and I would love people to go into my website, sarahhenderson.com.au, and sign that petition urging federal Labor MPs to back the East-West Link. It is so critical for our region, so critical for jobs, and so critical for our growth.
Now, on the defence situation, I see a few Defence Force members are a bit upset with the pay deal that's been offered, and some people in the public seem to be pointing out that politicians have had a massive pay increase, relatively speaking. I mean, where do you see this defence dispute going?
Well, in fact, that's not the case. Mitchell, just in the last year and announced some months ago out of the budget, politicians have had their wages frozen, including myself. So I'm getting absolutely no increase over the next 12 months, as well as top public service. So So we're not getting any pay rise at all. The Independent Defence Force Remuneration Tribunal has approved the ADF's workplace remuneration arrangement, and that's will see a 1.5% pay increase each November for the next 3 years. So there is still a sizeable increase, but we are, as a country, we have been burdened with extraordinary debt, and everyone has to lift their weight in relation to this. And let's not forget that ADF personnel, both in 2012 and 13, under Labor, received below-inflation wage increases. It's important also to remember that those who do, ADF members who do go on operations, will continue to receive additional remuneration and also preferential tax treatment. So that does reflect the nature of the operations on which they are deployed. But, Mitchell, what's perhaps most significant is that Labor, under Labor, ripped some $16 billion from defence and cut the defence budget to its lowest level as a percentage of GDP since 1938. So we have seen, really, defence under Labor lose billions and billions of dollars. And what we are trying to do is afford those wage increases, but in a way that does reflect the debt and deficit that we have been burdened with.
Yeah, but I suppose, would you accept that it is sort of a little bit of a cut in their wages in real terms because it is below inflation, even if Labor were also doing the same thing?
Look, what I would accept is that we have seen the worst cut to defence under Labor since 1938, $16 billion. As I say, those who do travel overseas on operations will still continue to receive those additional benefits. It is a tough time. We are trying to get the budget under control. But what we are focused on as a government, Mitchell, is also growing the economy and growing jobs. We're doing that by doing what we said we would do, getting rid of the carbon tax, the mining tax, building the roads of the 21st century, and getting that budget under control. We were left, of course, in the last year with a $50 billion deficit. We left Labor in 2007 with a $20 billion surplus. So, unfortunately, in just 6 short years, we have seen reckless financial management, which has really ended up in us heading to a trajectory of something like $667 billion of debt. And we just can't keep that going.
And just last of all, it's G20 time at the moment. What do you think is going to come out of that? And I suppose people are wondering about the shirt front comment and what's going to happen between the Prime Minister and Vladimir Putin.
Well, they're having a meeting at the moment, of course. I think that's due very shortly. But look, essentially, the G20 is all about implementing the sorts of policies that will help the private sector to grow jobs. And so the focus of G20 is to get public spending under control, to remove the regulatory burdens, and you might know that we have had a very concerted effort to remove red tape, something in excess of $2 billion of savings we have already delivered. And it is about facilitating those opportunities for our export industries. So this is the most significant meeting perhaps ever that Australia has hosted. We are the G20 president. And it's a very, very significant event, particularly even for Brisbane, where some $100 million in direct economic benefits will be delivered to Brisbane because of the hosting of the Leaders Summit next weekend.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I look forward to catching up in the future.
Mitchell, it's been great. And just very quickly, just a big reminder of the state government's massive announcement yesterday for regional cities, $100 million regional cities fund, which will be so important for Geelong, along with a very significant youth unemployment strategy, something we haven't seen from Labor. So Dennis Napthine, a Premier, very focused on Geelong and on regional Victoria.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll speak to you again next month.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Sarah Henderson there, the Member for Corangamite.